And now we're going to get into some of the aspects of the future and how it affects all of us in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. George, you're in Cliff High with us. George, let's talk about the economy. What do you see?
Well, unfortunately, the economy is going to transition from hopeful signs of green shoots to, oops, guess not. And that should begin to occur about the 22nd of August or so. At that point, something which will have actually started taking place in mid-July ought to come to light. And from that point on, the markets should begin to decline, accelerating around the 14th or so of September through the equinox on the 21st. And it's in that range that we start getting some indications that there may be a lockdown, something like a bank holiday or market closures, something on that order. And then things continue to decline during the month of October until we get to the 25th or so, when it's either we're bombing Iran or mandatory vaccinations or something like that sets up a tremendous wave of stress such that the Obama administration is in full-fledged retreat or defensive position by the first week or so of November.
That's pretty soon.
Yeah, and pretty grim.
What about North Korea? Do you see anything there?
Yeah, Cliff, you better take that one, because that's a very touchy one.
Yeah, the crazy man who runs that country, we can't call him a nut job. I mean, George and I are nut jobs, but the crazy man who runs that country is going to pop up with a big ego rush around November as well.
Before he chucks it in and dies, I think.
Well, it could be, actually, that the linguistics would support him dying in a major reformation of the country in March of 2010. Basically, North Korea will be an active subject from about the same time that the Obama administration runs into their international crises in the 5th or so of November. And North Korea will continue to trouble us all through November, December, and up to March. And then they kind of fade. Now, the language actually would suggest a number of different reasons for that fading, but at this level of guessing on the details, it truly is a guess, but they're going to be an annoyance at least that much.
In with these problems, of course, that may or may not be caused by us, maybe other nations get involved, who knows what will happen. Is there a way out of this? I mean, are these events that will happen or could happen?
That's a real good question. We don't know. We don't know enough about what we're doing. George calls this a time machine, but really it's not even the time machine. It's the power pack that we should wrap a nice machine around, and all we've got is the power pack, really. It could be that we're reading some form of event that has already happened in a near-term template of the future, so to speak, that's being pressed upon us. Or it could be that we're getting an impression of a probability, and it need not come out this way. Now, our problem is this, that if we were to assume the situation of the internet being in existence and our software being in existence prior to the Cuban Missile Crisis, and we were a few months away from that crisis reaching its peak, I could not tell you that we wouldn't go to war, because the brinksmanship that was exhibited at the peak of the Cuban Missile Crisis in the early 60s for all the kinder out there, was such that it was held right up to the last minute. There was tension right up to the last minute.
Absolutely. Kennedy had a speech written explaining why he supported the bombing of Cuba, which we never did. I mean, that's how far they had taken this.
And we wouldn't have been able to tell with our software that we would not have actually gone to some level of war from there. So I can't say for certain that Israel is going to attack Iran, but I can say that the linguistics support the idea that if they attack, things go horribly wrong and the planet suffers greatly. And that's two separate linguistic issues. It's difficult to explain without all of our model space and all this laid out in front of you, but basically, it's kind of like, if this, then that. So if the Israelis actually attack, then the language will be fulfilled by this giant problem that will result from that. If the Israelis don't attack, some of the language may be fulfilled as we get into discussions of what could have happened, and then other parts of the language would be fulfilled from some other kind of an event or series of events, including this idea of maybe swine flu actually mutating into something very, very, very deadly.
So let's not be quite so abstract about it, George. Let me see if I can summarize it this way. Around October 25th, if Israel bombs Iran and uses a bunker buster, one possibility is that we get a cloud of radioactive crap, for lack of a better term, that blows up into the upper atmosphere, circles the planet 9 times, and that causes a large number of deaths, including, what, 1 in 5 over the long term on the west coast of the U.S.
Correct.
And then that's if that's the fulfillment of a descriptor set related at the archetype level to ill winds. On the other hand, we could have a lot of discussion about a bombing of Iran in that period of time, but the ill winds that circle the Earth 9 times could be this massively virulent strain of the flu. So it's very hard to separate where the ill winds are coming from. We know roughly what the death toll is going to be over the next year and a half, because it comes from the part of the model. You may recall back in August of 2004, prior to the Banda Aceh earthquake, we had the 300,000 dead land driven back to a previous age descriptor about five and a half months before the Sumatra earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
from the same part of the model now, we're getting really horrific numbers for the next year and a half.
Okay, let's also talk about the Iranian demonstrations that they've had over the past month or so. Does that factor into any of this? Do you pick up anything?
The language set was too small. It was a put-up job. There was no large-scale support. We do a lot of snooping on Farsi, which is the basic language of the Iranian population.
Right.
And the level of interest in the in actively participating, that is to say those kind of words that would have actually gotten people off their butts, was way below 1%. And in order for a revolution to succeed, you need at least 2% of the population to be actively discussing getting off their butt and doing something. So it was some kind of I think it was a ploy. I think it was some kind of a put-up job. Somebody paid it to occur, like some of these other revolutions that have occurred in the Baltic states.
And you can actually see evidence of it, George. If you scan the headlines off the foreign press, you'll read about how this group and that was twittering the population, trying to get something rolling. In fact, there was some what appears to be deliberate disinformation put out via Twitter and some websites mm-hmm. that the opposition leader had won. So when the incumbent administration, in fact, won, then there was this whole mystique
giant
of
disappointment
miscount.
Thing,
right.
Yeah. And then the
right.
British embassy and all the people being arrested because they were flooding the place with
right.
money, trying to foment stuff. And, you know, and basically we have to acknowledge that in 1953, the Iranians were in a situation of having had a republic and a revolution that was taken over by the Illuminati, which expresses itself as the crown of Britain, which claims to own 1/6 of the planet, wants to own the rest of it. So we're getting back into that level of stuff again. Now the point is, at this stage, without mincing words, is that it appears that if our conclusion is correct, that the Illuminati actually have an agenda to wipe out part of the planet, that they've set off two major threads that they think will achieve that, and they launched these about 4 or 5 months ago. Coincident, too, and we knew it was coming. Coincident, too, some earth changes that we had labeled the global coastal event. But one of these was the release of the swine flu vaccine issue.
Intentionally.
Intentionally, quite correct. There's so much linguistics to support that. There's so much linguistics to support corruption in big pharma that you start getting to the point where it is easier to accept the outlandish idea that chemtrails and the vaccine are a two-part killing machine than it is to refute them or to find any reason to believe any of the big pharma guys. They've lied to us so long, why should I believe them, you know?
Do you get chatter like Bin Laden is dead or he's alive? And then
sure.
Can you, all right, and what do you conclude by that?
The preponderance of data would suggest that indeed he is dead. The support levels that we got from within the powers that be entity suggesting that Cheney had Bhutto killed over that casual remark about Bin Laden being dead seems to be absolutely right on, in the sense that there was a whole lot of support for that. So
the internet chatter really concludes that?
The internet chatter, the preponderance in non-English favors that, correct. There's a It gets all right.
Do you have to weigh this though?
Correct.
Because first of all, if you're in a region where you pick up a lot of chatter, but they for some reason just can't stand us, one could conclude that it's skewed against us. So you have to weigh that, I would
correct,
assume.
Correct. Okay. It all goes through a filter, and we all work it. We work it at archetypes. So the great enemy, the hated enemy, blah, 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 basically, again, was a large front for what the government was doing in their attacks against the American populace. And I say government, it's not really the government that's attacking. It's the controllers that own the government.
True. The special interests.
No, I'm not even saying that. The special interests are but tools. They're part of what we call the minion class. I'm talking about those people that go all the way up to the 13 families and the bloodline fellows that think they own.
You're going all the way to the top.
Correct.
Sure.
And they decided, okay, it's time to pull the plug. We'd seen some very large archetypes. Let me back up and say about the time in 97 that I discovered that there was something going on with the sun relative to the big scary ball in the sky as opposed to Stanford University Network stock that I was actually tracking. I also came across this thread of meaning that we were going to go into a period of fascistic thought that was going to be engineered because it was the last gasp, if you will, of what I term the bloodline control structure. And this goes all the way back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. So we're seeing the culmination of a wave that has a 500-year peak in it and a 2,500-year peak in it and so on, all the way back to Taurus, the age of Taurus, when the certain control structures came out, dictatorial control structures of Taurus faded over into mass, more humane, if you will, control structures within the Pisces age, and it kind of is reflected by the astrology. Now we're about to get into the Aquarian age, and those control structures are basically losing it, losing control, losing their own sense of themselves within the giant magnetic squeeze we're all going through. And so they're reacting badly. And they've apparently decided, well, that badly is going to implement some of their plans.
Well, what's amazing is you both seem to echo what some of the alternative media and some of the things we've said on this program. It's almost as if we may have stumbled into it in an unscientific way, backed up by what you two do scientifically.
Yeah, there is that, and there's also, as part of the major shift, what is now the alternative media is in the process of becoming the new mainstream, the new DeVoe, the old line.
Led by Coast to Coast, of course.
Yeah,
I mean, quite seriously, we have this thing called Model of Model Space, or MOM, and it is necessary for us to model things like the Coast to Coast show so that we can eliminate that language whenever it talks about it, and so thus it doesn't pollute and get into circuitous references.
Mm-hmm.
So George can pick up from there.
Yeah, and essentially what that means going forward is that the alternative media is rolling into a new position of power, and what has been the corporate-controlled MSM, we call it the mainstream media, which has been that media which has been rolled up into corporate megalopolies, will eventually fade and roll into or be subsumed by this emerging new media on the Internet, provided that the Internet stays up.
But let's also remove that word eventually, George. I mean, we're talking about something relatively immediate. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, over the next year or two.
Well, I've got to tell you.
5 months for Coast to Coast. The Coast to Coast show in our model space takes a huge jump sometime in November during the period of time that the Obama administration's running around flapping like chickens being chased by a dog.
Interesting. Interesting. When you just said that if the Internet stays around.
Oh, by the way, I have to compliment you on having Ron Paul on earlier.
Oh, he's a great guy.
Yeah,
I like
great
it.
Guy. Yeah, great like guy. Him. I didn't mean to interrupt.
You know, he's just, all I want is the truth. You know, we can handle things. Tell us the truth and let us react to it. You know?
Thank you.
And, these lies and deceit and so many things that have gone on over the years. Mm-hmm. I mean, just it's gamesmanship. It's lining their own pockets, and you know, we're going to keep watching it, and you two obviously do.
Sure.
And we'll just keep this formidable force to keep pushing the way we're pushing.
And that's probably the only hope we have. Our real problem is that our data shows that the impetus towards revolution turns violent, and the minute that it turns violent, we're playing into the hands of these people because that's
right.
What they want.
That's dangerous and sad, because once that goes that way,
right,
then all of a sudden you'll see what happens. But
look how powerful we are if we were all like Gandhi and just said, no, I'm not going to cooperate with this.
I just don't think American troops would turn on Americans. I think they'd put their guns down. I think they would say, no, we're not going to do this. We're going to join them.
I think between a combination of indoctrination and drugs, troops.
Not a safe bet, yeah.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but the reality is that you're wishing and hoping, I think, George, at that point.
True. I always do.
Oh, as do we. I mean, we're hopeful that revolution will be only a linguistic phrase and won't be the to the barricades, mon frere. But linguistically, by the time things get really bad and food is in short supply come middle to late 2010, that's the kind of language that pops up. We certainly don't support it.
I even think it's stupid. Yeah.
See, I think the housing situation is worse than they're even telling us.
Oh, it's far worse. It's far worse. Banks are cutting deals with people left and right so they can stay in their homes so that they don't have to report it as real estate owned. And the foreclosure rates are largely on hold because they're afraid to collapse
the market
further.
Yeah.
By admitting how many homes they really own.
Yeah. They don't want the houses back. They're trying to do everything they can. Stay in the house. Pay us a little bit.
By the way, actually suggests that in the near future, and it may be as early as 2011 or so, a cadre of young people mainly will be, what we call them, demolition Danas, I think was the label we gave them, mainly because it would be surprisingly feminine-led. And these people would be going out salvaging, if you will, in the U.S., strip malls and houses that are abandoned and had no hope of ever being occupied.
Though this did not happen quickly, it seems like it snuck up on us, but it did not. But why does it feel that way?
That may be part of the actual, the feelings component of our work has actually changed. The initial emotional parameters I set seem to have been altered, and I've had to constantly adjust the data, and which has led me to the conclusion that Terence McKenna is right, that time is fractal. And now I think that there may even be an actual physical or quantum reason for this, and that is this giant magnetic rim that we're going through, which, by the way, takes 20 years to cross. And curious, all the Mesoamerican calendars had 20 as their one of their chief cycles, 20 by 13. And there's another 13 component in crossing this. But you may be feeling that because of external energies from space, what we called unknown energies from space for so long.
And speaking of space, I mean, do you see some positive things in that arena?
Yeah, actually really cool stuff relative to the contact meme, as we call it, which is actually manifesting now. Some of the language was showing up in actually on your show. You were talking with someone, I think, out of the Midwest, out of MUFON, who kept using all the same kind of language we've been deciding.
Yeah, she was putting on a conference out there.
Yeah, right. Surprise, and how they were startled about the number of coming in the middle of the country and so on. And we have seen something that's also pending for South America, where there will be some kind of a fairly large or mass sighting that will make all of these people, and we're talking millions, not into believers, but will shade them over to, oh, yes, I know what I saw kind of a thing.
Now, how do we know it's real or it's false? Because there has been talk on the Internet, especially, about a false project of almost hologram-type UFOs.
Oh, Project Blue Beam.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That those Illuminati-type want us to believe in order to implement more of their control plan.
And that's the real problem, is that we live in a morass of shifting sands, not able to get our feet firmly underneath it. So we won't know. And there's no clear indicator. For instance, it may turn out that orbs, for instance, are in fact the most efficient expression of life in universe, which is a sphere. And there's no reason to actually have a body our way if you could be a sphere. So they may be more real than any UFO that actually ever shows up that's a mechanical. And the UFOs that show up may in fact be extraterrestrial, but humanoid. In our work, it actually seems to suggest that over these next 2 or 3 or 4 years, it's hard to say because our granularity runs out, but within the contact meme, that it's going to so accelerate that it will become common knowledge and, in fact, even spark fears, which I don't know if they'll be realized, but these fears would have people in rural areas sleeping with shotguns next to the door for fear of alien knock in the middle of the night, you know.
On the other hand, there's also some language cliff that goes to alien wars, which
that's
we can't
correct.
Ignore.
Let's talk a little bit about that when we come back as well. Our two special guests tonight, George Uhr, Cliff High, two websites, urbansurvival.com, halfpasthuman.com, are both linked up. at coasttocoastam.com. We'll talk more about this fascinating on Coast to Coast AM. Next up, we'll talk about UFO wars with the WebBot Technology Boys in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. UFO wars. We've got a guest, Ed Grimsley, who talks about UFO wars up there. What have you found on the web?
Our stuff actually would be better categorized as alien wars, because what we actually find is, actually beginning this year, we'd predicted that we'd start seeing an uptick in language that related war kind of things to interplanetary activity. And along on schedule comes NASA saying they're going to bomb the moon. And that was the launch off of the war plus alien kind of language or interplanetary language. So it goes and keeps going and building all the way through to 2011 as part of the uptick, if you will, or the growth of the contact meme, and then the two seem to merge about that same period of time. Our data, again, wouldn't allow us to say that we're going to be fighting aliens, or rather we're going to be sitting here observing aliens fight each other, or some other third alternative that we just can't consider at the moment, that sort of thing. But it does seem very chaotic, and it seems that the expression of the alien wars is going to be so pervasive that it'll become a very much a common part of the daily discourse of the society, very much like must have occurred during the bombing of Britain, where everybody just kind of chatted about it or lived with it and the stress of it all. And at the same time, it permeated all the way down through their life because it affected everyone. That's what's coming towards us.
And at the same time, George, this isn't coming at us until we first go through the political disease crisis and possibly the new war problems to come this fall going into next spring. It really starts to pop up about midsummer of 2010, when we start getting into this part of the model where contact meme really goes out there with something that I think, Cliff, you refer to it as the non-Terran human named Cousin Alexi.
That was just, yeah, we have a weird, occasionally we'll be able to reach down in data in the detail layers, and we'll pull up a bunch of related lexical sets that hang together so convincingly, very much like the Northeast power outage, that we want to clump them all together. And it probably has to do more with my mind and any human mind seeking patterns than may actually exist. However, our data suggests that sometime in the chaos of next summer, in a diaspora where people are shifting around either from lack of food or political chaos, they're refugees. I don't know what the circumstances are, but it's chaos. People fleeing around, running around. We'll have some video crew out and about just interviewing people, it appears, on a man-on-the-street kind of thing, and they'll have to happen to interview a fellow recently escaped from internment. And this is probably not in the U.S., and the language would suggest that it may even be in the Baltic states or the Eastern European states or even in Russia. But in any event, this fellow is a non-Terran human, and will be able to, unbeknownst to the video crew at the time, they'll capture on video basically evidence that proves that this is not a regular human because of something that will be exhibited in the video itself that they won't be able to observe at the moment, but which will be observable when it's actually displayed. Did that make sense? Did I explain that right, George?
Yeah, I think you did very well.
Yeah.
The phenomenon might be envisioned as, you know how every once in a while, George, people will take pictures with digital cameras?
Yes.
And they'll capture orbs on them. You've talked about that many times.
Sure.
And it'll be that kind of a thing with a video. And I guess the only other bit of detail to add is the fellow should be young and bald.
And wizened in the sense of maybe, you know, lots of excess skin or it looks like an old wise man or something. The word wizened is applied to him repeatedly within the data sets.
You talk about American refugees, up to 200 million of them fleeing by the millions to Canada. What do you see on that?
This is where everything gets really terribly complex, because there's a whole lot of major themes. If we were to imagine, we see an archetype. The archetype is lots of refugees fleeing north in the order of tens of millions, even hundreds of millions. And that's as far as we can go with any kind of confidence. Thereafter, when we start looking for detail to support that, what we kind of do is to try and look in our detail layers and pick out something that seems plausible to explain this. And it's at that point we start guessing, and that's why we get our detail levels wrong, but we may very well get the absolute perfection of the archetype itself. And so a lot of people will say, no, you didn't get this right, and they're quite correct. Our detail was wrong, but the archetype was accurate. In this case, the archetype is suggesting that fear is going to drive these people. Now, it's also a combination of fear of long-term in the sense of no food. There's going to be a giant food crisis, but I don't think that's the single motivator for this. It could be, for instance, that the radioactive volcano, which is one way of describing a radioactive eruption, that may occur as a result of the of a presumed Israeli attack on Iran, creates a situation where people flee north because of the jet stream, that the jet stream is laden with something like plutonium-94 atomized to the point where a single particle is fatal, and it will be drifting down across the U.S. as the jet stream flows along. Now, this is just one example of what could cause this kind of an effect.
But that's, that particular bit is supported elsewhere in the data, because we have a huge conversion of people going from carnivore, omnivore to vegan diets.
Correct.
In this period of time. Now, that can also be because vegan diet is far more efficient in terms of feeding large numbers of people with a limited amount of resource than meat. Which,
however, we do see that the planetary food body, as it currently is constituted, is affected, and that is to say that the farming of animals will be affected either by plutonium, because imagine a cow gets plutonium in it, you're not going to want to eat the cow.
Right.
And or it could be that there's some level of presumed contamination by a viral agent, and therefore, once again, you won't be able to eat the cow. Now, in this whole scenario, there are threads going back over to our entity that we call the powers that be, and it appears that this is part of the control mechanism that they're attempting to institute. So there will be destruction of food under some pretext, and it may just be simply a pretext. Nonetheless, the impact will be in an already exacerbated food crisis, that it's getting worse by the actions of the powers that be, and there is some motivation in the food issues to go north.
When do you see this migration occurring?
Probably in late 2010 or through into 2011. It's all jumbled up with this chaos. We start getting into the point where, as George had alluded to earlier, the compression of time and events, and it's made our data sifting, if you will, very clumpy. We can't really separate the way we used to even 5 years ago, and so that's becoming somewhat problematic. So it may be that we'll have to wait until we can get data, if at all possible, in the early part of 2010 before we'd get a clearer picture of the time frame of it. But it does not appear to occur in any sizable amount prior to July 7th of next year. Now, we have this issue of the dollar dying, and there's going to be pressures on the population that way as well, because as the dollar dies and the American empire, as I said, it essentially rots out from the middle because we don't produce anything and we've got to go through this chaos. That'll take a whole year from November 4th of this year through to November 2nd of 2010. And it also participates in the push of the populace north. So we can't really say what is the cause. It appears that there's potentially multiple causes to get a lot of people to want to move north. And at some point, it becomes very rapid. So there's a large fear component in it.
Are you concerned at all that government is not trying to fix any of this? Clearly, people should be looking at what's happening and trying to react to it.
Okay, I'm a linguist, and I get all bent out of shape, as Mr. Ure will tell you. I'm a terrible fellow to have to do business with because of this. But let me point out something. Within your language itself, you're expressing the idea of the Savior come to rescue you, and I don't buy that. So, no, I'm not concerned that government isn't fixing this, because government never fixes anything. The most they can do is legislate and spend money. They don't do either wisely. So I'm concerned that the populace expects the government to fix it, not that they're not doing it.
Well, that's true. That's true. But the question is, will anything be done?
Not at the official level, no, sir. And in fact, they're going to do things that will make it a lot worse. And in fact, they've even done so with the derivative problems and the bailouts. It's going to come crashing down on us as part of the chaos of this fall when the hyperinflation starts coming in.
So and the control mechanisms are slowly ratcheting up, George. If you watch them from my perspective as an armchair economist and a consultant, I see it very clearly. The Fed, for example, is starting to talk about taking on the super cop role. And yet, whenever there is a threat in Congress to audit the Fed or to get the private banks that own the Fed to open up their books to close inspection and scrutiny, so people can ask legitimate questions like, why are we paying rent on the nation's money?
Yeah.
Questions like that, the Fed will turn right around and make not very thinly veiled threats about how that could be, oh, terribly disruptive to the market and could crash everything. Well, yeah. But on the other hand, there's a very good reason for asking those questions, because the Federal Reserve is not federal in the sense that it's not owned by the government. It's the banks subcontracted out control of the money and got Congress to abdicate its constitutional role.
Good point. Good point. You know, this sometimes reminds me of the movie A Christmas Carol, where Scrooge is taken all over the place in the past, the present, and the future.
Oh, we are Scrooged. There's no question about it.
We live in very interesting times, and it's really strange when you start looking at some of the work of Kellerman and McKenna, how they describe the eschaton, the end of time, so to speak, in the Mesoamerican calendar, how they also discuss the compression of events within these periods as we go forward. And it's really woo-woo spooky that it's all lining up this way. At the same time, we see these people reacting as predicted.
Knowing what you know, what are you two doing for yourselves, the people you care about?
Well, that's two different issues. For ourselves, there isn't much we can do. We're hopeless cases there, but we're working very diligently to try and care for people. I'm trying to, you know, make sure that I can grow food as well as keep some on hand, and I have my own power system. I'm capable of going almost a year without any external any mains power. This kind of thing. I'm preparing a little survival pod boat for when it's necessary to truck around because there won't be any roads. And I live on Puget Sound, which is a nice little waterway, and hopefully will be good for some level of communication with other people.
Is the name of the game to exist until they get things back in order again?
No. Once again, language, sir. They won't get things back in order. We have to do it. The human species is evolving and taking giant steps forward here that are chaotic and very much like a birthing process. We're about to go through a terrible birth canal that none of us really want to face, and we've got to start looking at our own language and our own level of responsibility. It will be us that fix it. It will be all of us together that create what we call the new electrics and the new economy that will see us through from 2013 on. And in fact, actually, it's being created now by inventors all around the planet, but not in the U.S. Turns out that the American Empire is thought to be distinctly odd and stupid in places like Russia, China, India, et cetera, because we're not embracing the hyperdimensional mathematics that were really laid into electric theory by Maxwell. And in fact, we're buying this little dumbed-down version. And so we're missing huge opportunities that are going on around the rest of the planet.
Tell me about the death of the dollar.
It hurts. It hurts a lot. What most people don't understand is that the death of the dollar meme that we've been talking about for, gosh, since 2003, I think Cliff
years.
Mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happens when the dollar gets revalued externally is that that it takes more dollars to buy foreign-made products. And so at a macro view, what's going to continue happening is that the dollar will buy over time less and less oil. So that means it'll take more dollars domestically to buy oil, such that we'll hit a likely hyperinflationary period next year where silver, which can be purchased for under $14 an ounce now, may take $600 to buy an ounce of silver by, say, the end of 2010. And part of
that's just a little more than a year.
Correct.
What a return.
Yeah. I mean, you'll be.
But also, now bear in mind, this is not a good thing, okay? Because at the same time, the hyperinflation will cause us to not be able to buy as much oil, so we won't be able to move as much coal to the power plants.
Right.
So the power is going to start going off on, you know, 2 and 3 hours a day. Pretty soon, we'll be like Baghdad, where it'll be, in some areas, you'll be lucky to get 3 hours of power a day, that kind of thing.
But from a banker's standpoint, gosh, all
those. Or an economist, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, from a banker's standpoint, all those homes that have been foreclosed on suddenly become worth, on paper, a lot more zeros after them. And so it becomes a very tumultuous time. And what we're personally, I think, both really focused on is trying to figure out how to get ourselves and our loved ones through there. And it's not going to be investing in paper assets like stocks and bonds and so forth. It's going to be, I'm also in the same position as Cliff, owning some metalworking equipment in my shop, a good tractor, some farm animals, a year and a half of food supply, a well, solar panels. We haven't tried to get rich off this. In fact, you know, jokingly, we refer to Cliff as the chief time monk, and we've all taken this vow of poverty.
Universe forced that on us.
Well, yeah. But there ain't no point in making money. It's going to be much more important to have good walking shoes, good health, and try to figure out if the powers that be are going to eliminate either the really upstart people, the technologically savvy, so they have a new empire of dumb folks to rule over, or if they're going to do away with all the dumb folks so that they won't defend their resources, or if it's going to be a little bit of everybody, and how do we make it with our loved ones through that? That's a horrible question to be faced with every day.
Your reports have dropped in price, too, over the last few years, so you can't be making much money.
No, as a matter of fact, we used to actually be able to produce our reports because of the huge bandwidth costs, only because we had a single patron that would pay these outrageous amounts for the bandwidth required to do it. But he was Chinese, and then as a result of the certain things going on in China, it became politically unwise for us to continue that relationship.
Really? Did he react, though, in the beginning when he was using it?
Oh, yeah, actually, his wife always called me the weather god because I told him about some flooding that was going to occur. They sold their house. 6 weeks later, the house was underwater.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. So she really liked me. She wouldn't let him not fund it because she wanted to know. But
so once he left, or you...
We had to take on the responsibility ourselves, and the costs were huge. And my associate, Igor, he had to move because he's getting a little paranoid.
Is that a real name? Igor? Igor?
No. He's so paranoid he would never, ever allow his name to be used.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he thinks the guys in the white nets are going to come and get us and haul us off to Western State, which is the local mental institution.
And I don't know if they take you to a mental institution, but they could try to take you away somewhere. You never
know.
That's
one of his real concerns. He's ex-military, and he's seen some nasty stuff, so yeah. But in any event, we've had some costs, so no, it's not like we're not a candidate to show up on anybody's list in Forbes or anything like that. And actually, it doesn't matter. People that have dollars have to realize that those dollars are rapidly waning in usefulness. And from November 4th of this year through November 2nd of next year, over a year's course of time, the data suggests the dollar as the global reserve currency will go away, and that will cause huge disruptions here in the U.S. that will make a lot of those dollars, like I say, absolutely as worthless as Confederate currency.
Well, it's important.
The other problem with too many dollars is they're in the data next year when we get into the expression of revolution and anti-wealth, if you will, starts to break out, that actually being associated with the banking class, the banksters, officialdom will become a personal liability to the point where some of the imagery describes attacks on gated communities of banksters and financial types. With and this gets grisly, families being thrown back into the fires of the attacks.
It's quite horrific, yes. And that we needn't go that way. I think we can be smarter than that way and just express revolution in a quieter fashion and still control our own destinies, because it seems silly that we should go on killing each other, especially innocents. But it's understandable, the rage levels that will be coming on out, because we've got this other theme going called Secrets Revealed. You have to understand that as the economy starts taking hit after hit after hit, and we're seeing it now and express itself, the government starts coagulating. They start dropping off this service, dropping off that service, like in California and so on. As it gets into the federal states or the federal activities, we're going to see subcontractors come on out and reveal themselves and knowing a whole lot more than has been told to the public, and this Secrets Revealed meme will build upon itself, and pretty soon people will get so fed up that there will be this base level of rage at anybody that represents the powers that be, or what we call their minion class, the political elites and so on. Hopefully it won't affect the good people that are actually working in government diligently, not aware that they're necessarily serving in a not-so-nice end.
But the personal bottom line is, if you exhibit conspicuous consumption of any kind, it's like the mob of villagers with the pitchforks and torches can turn on you. So if you're thinking about buying an upscale car, You know, that's why we haven't really bothered pursuing paper dollars. Because,
or any of that.
Yeah, it's getting through it that matters.
Well, let's come back and take phone calls with all of you now on Coast to Coast AM.